folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Of course, this is Wednesday, so I'm sitting in for Melody. She's running errands and taking care of chores. She likes to have a little time off, so I do what I can to help her at any time. And welcome to today's program. It is 1 June 2022. Welcome to almost halfway through another year. Glad you're with us, and I do mean that. And I don't think Melody would mind me asking this. Our engineer there, Todd, y'all know who Todd is, that works our board for us all the time. His daddy is not doing well. His daddy's name is Joe, and he's very, very sick, very ill. So I ask you to keep Joe, Todd's dad, in your prayers, please, maybe for healing and definitely for soul salvation. And for his mom, who, of course, is hurting because her husband's very sick. His mom's name is Faye. So please keep Joe and Faye in your prayers, listeners. Please do that, okay? We'll get ready to the program because we're going to bring up Wendy Wilson in a few minutes. I want to go through the markets very quickly and all the numbers on metals. Metals had a little better day today. Nothing magical, but a better day. Gold was up 12.30 to 18.48.51. Silver was up 33 cents to 21.87. Platinum was up 31 to 9.99. Palladium was up 2.92 to 1997.92. So that's pretty fair. USDX was up 0.74 to 102.49. The Dow, all markets except one, was down today slightly. Dow was down 31.78 to 32.958. NASDAQ was down 26.58 to 1254.81. S&P was down 11.63 to 4,120.52. The Japan markets, Japan was the only one that was up. It was up 179 to 27,457. Hong Kong was down 119 to 21,294. London was down 73.98 to 75,32. Germany was down 47.72 to 14,340. The 10-year yield was 2.93%. Oil, of course, is up 0.36% to 115.08. I heard oil took a hit and is going to drop. I don't know, folks. It hasn't shown up yet. We had gas raised 10 cents more since yesterday here in West Virginia where I live. So oil is up to 115.08. Another rise in the price of oil. Whoopee, whoopee. Now, as I said, our guest in Wendy's is always Wendy Wilson with Apothecary Herbs, and she always had powerful information to share with us. So today, she's going to share with you something. I'll let her explain it. I'm not going to even say it. So, Wendy, welcome.
Oh, well, thank you, Pastor Butch. Always great to be with you and all the listeners out there. Hope everybody had a good Memorial Day.
And I know you got something interesting to share with us today, so you can hop right into it.
Okay, so we're going to talk about, you know, the drug-pushing element of modern medicine. Now, this doesn't mean all doctors are drug dealers, but it is a factor that has kind of wiggled into healthcare. Americans pretty much know about the pain epidemic where, you know, prescribed pain pills like opioid medications put a lot of people at risk of addiction and even death. And you may recall the show 60 Minutes in 2000 that featured this topic, especially in the state of Florida, where they had more pain clinics than they had McDonald's restaurants. And patients were doctor shopping and paying cash for their drugs. And there was one Florida doctor, Barry Schultz. He earned $6,000 a day selling opioid painkillers in the year 2000. Of course, he was prosecuted and sentenced to 157 years in prison. So people say, well, why would physicians start an epidemic of opioid abuse? Well, it comes down to the money. And it's been an accepted practice, though, within medicine. We'll talk about that in a minute. So here's what the prosecuting attorney for the case with Dr. Schultz said about Dr. Schultz. He said, quote, one of the most notorious drug dealers in the state of Florida. So Dr. Schultz prescribed one patient 17,000 oxycodone pills within a seven-month period, which qualified him as a drug dealer. And most people do not equate some of the common medications as addictive. People mostly think of street drugs like heroin, meth, or cocaine. Here's a quote from Opius Health, July 2021. They said, doctors can't plead ignorance about the impacts of opioids. The reality is that some of the most dangerous drugs available come straight from your doctor's office. With prescription drugs being one of the most significant factors facing addiction today, we need to ask, quote, are internal medicine doctors basically drug dealers? End of quote. Wow. So the answer is I would say yes. I would say yes. According to some physicians, that's what's going on. Here is a psychiatrist, which is an MD. He's Dr. Lawrence Kelmerson. He says doctors have become such prolific drug dealers. Prolific. He uses the word prolific, which is important. So then there's the matter, also, Pastor Butch, that doctors become addicted to the drugs themselves, which, you know, the public is largely aware, unaware, or ignorant of. Here's a quote from, this is the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Center in July 2009. They say, a physician's addictive disease is typically advanced before identified and intervention is enacted. This delay in a diagnosis relates to physicians wanting to protect their workplace performance and their image. Unfortunately, this often occurs after their private life outside of work has deteriorated and has become chaotic. So, dysfunction. Wow. So, and here it is, it's kind of an organized and planned thing. This is going to be a surprise for some of your listeners today. According to the Opus Health, addiction epidemics are kind of planned by the medical complex. So the physicians are prescribing addictive drugs, and they are pivotal in the plan. So people don't know that these are what medicine calls controlled epidemics. And here is a list of outlines often given to doctors at medical schools. They say physicians have an ethical responsibility to prescribe opioids and other dangerous, potentially addictive drugs responsibly. And then they say most medical schools integrate addiction and pain training into the curriculum. In other words, you know, when your patient's addicted, then you got to send them off to the pain clinic. Also, doctors have long held the position that patients should have zero pain following procedures or conditions, and overprescribed is better than underprescribed, and then send your patient to a pain clinic. And lastly, pain clinics swap pain drugs and often use injectable forms of these drugs. So you're not really getting any kind of intervention. You're just getting more pain drugs. So, and here's something that kind of highlights where we're at a little bit, because if we go back in time to see what medicine thought, because it's interesting to consider what the mainstream theology of scientific medicine was, let's say, 70 years ago. For instance, in 1954, Pastor Butch, medicine thought addictions happened to morally weak and lower class people. Yeah, 1954.
Oh, wow.
Little study on these addictions was going on back then. Now think of the cigarette companies using nicotine to make their customers addicts. So addiction equals big profits, and physicians dispense in large quantities stimulant drugs back in the 50s. They used it as diet aids. Here's a quote from the National Institute of Mental Health Addiction Research Center. They said, doctors began heavy dispensing of stimulants as diet aids in the 50s, despite knowing they were very addictive, end of quote. See, when you got an addictive patient, they're coming back on a regular basis. See, they're coming back to you. Mm-hmm. So in the 50s, doctors made kind of middle-class income. And this was before the massive degrading of the medical system into the Medicare scams, the high cholesterol drug scams, and all kinds of schemes. So in order for them to bring in more income, they became drug dealers in drugs that made their patients addicts. It made them big repeat business. Clients, you know, mostly paid cash for their office visits then. There wasn't insurance. And I once did work for a diabetic pain clinic, Pastor Butch, and the patients came faithfully for their pain injections. They never missed. Never missed. So it's been taking the public about 20 years to realize that the substances in these things were addictive. They caused rebound effect. In other words, the drugs stopped working after a while. And then you had withdrawal that, you know, ensued after you tried to come off these drugs. So medicine has come up with hundreds of these schemes to keep patients coming back. An example would be changing the healthy level of cholesterol from 300 to 200. Or changing the definition of mental health conditions to encapsulate a wider scope of people to prescribe their drugs to. And you may be old enough, Pastor Butch, to recall some ads that were in newspapers and magazines stating that unpleasant feelings or sensations is now a mentally treatable disease. So patients looked to their doctors for antidepressants, Valium, and sleep aids. So taking your normal emotions and turning them into abnormal ones needing treatment was the plan to drum up more business. And how about the definition change for pack rat? You know, went to hoarder dysfunction and then to obsessive compulsive personality disorders. These are business models, and they're very successful, and they can increase prescription drug sales by $1.6 billion a year.
Let me
go back to Dr. Lawrence Kellerson, the psychiatrist. He says all doctors learn these realities in pharmacology and physiological classes in medical school. This knowledge gives doctors choices: either protect patients from harm by avoiding such treatments, or exploit the patients by hooking them up to addictions for life. There are no good intentions in dispensing pain drugs, stimulants, or antidepressants, benzodiazepines. Government studies have proved that they do not help and only hurt. End of quote. So they know this. They intentionally do it. You know, there's a judgment, isn't there?
Wow.
Well, and you probably say, well, where is the incentive? Well, the incentive for medicine is, you know, making more money. And why would science want to, you know, cure something like fibromyalgia, which is a yeast infection, when they can sell you the pain patient, the patient pain drugs for the rest of their life? Where's the profitability in curing you? There's not.
Sure.
So
sure.
Most people really don't realize that a lot of this medical nonsense cuts a patient's life short by 10 to 20 years. They're cutting off your life with this
stuff.
Wow. So now
most doctors have to know this. They can be ignorant.
Well, that's what the first doctor said. They learn it in medical school. And they make choices. Which road you going to go down? There's a fork in the road here. So they're going to go down the road of heavy profits and make their patients addicts and maybe cut their life short with drug therapy, or are they going to do the right thing? So
yeah.
I'm not saying all doctors do that, but I'm just saying open your eyes, because this is here. This is a reality. Now, do you remember, Pastor Butch, the Frito-Lay's commercial where you can't eat just one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
well,
sure.
That was kind of an inspiration to the drug companies, actually. So the average adult, American adult, takes 4 prescribed drugs. That's 31 million people. That's about 40% of our population. So addiction is now so common, it is no shocker to society anymore. And chances are you encounter someone that's addicted every day. Here's a quote from the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Center. They say, addictive disease is relatively common in the general population and in the physician population. All right? So the American Addiction Center in 2019 did a report on doctors dealing in drugs. Federal investigators actually uncovered a sting operation, a large scheme in the United States Appalachian States, that involved 31 doctors, 8 nurses, 7 pharmacists, and 7 other licensed medical professionals that were fraudulently handling an enormous supply of opioid drugs and selling them. The charges were that the doctors were running pharmacies out of their offices, writing hundreds of prescriptions per day for patients they had not even seen. They racked up 350,000 prescriptions in Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, and Ohio. People were dying on these drugs. So this is what the American Addiction Center said. The doctors were part of an effective drug ring. The drug companies targeted these areas for the high rate of disability patients, and they called it the prime pill territory. So do you see, the drug companies are complicit with this?
Of course.
They said we can only speculate as to why these medical professionals went down the criminal route. We feel that the opportunity to make big money is a majority of the motivation, and obviously legal culpability was absent from their medical training. End of quote. Right?
Just stop and think how many of them have done it for years and got by with it.
Right. And they got rich on it. Can you imagine making $6,000 a day?
You
get pretty used to that kind of money, I guess.
I could squeeze by on that.
Well, Dr. Michael Keish, he's a gastroenterologist. He says this: Americans consume more than 80% of the planet's opioid medications, but are less than 8%, or sorry, 5% of the world's population. He says, does that make any sense? Well, sure it does, Doc, because it's called a planned epidemic and the business model for drug companies and medical professionals willing to play the game. Yeah.
That's very true.
So that makes a patient a commodity. You know? You're not
very
a person.
True.
You're not a person really anymore when you see people like this. They look at you as a dollar sign. So, unless there's a trauma, Pastor Butch, I stay away from doctors. And I use a lot of the medicinal herbs, as you know, to maintain organ function. So for bowel cleansing, I think that's a whole lot easier and safer and less expensive than, let's say, a colonoscopy. How about avoiding cow's milk? That's also better than mammograms and accumulative radiation, because we did a show where cow's milk puts you at a high risk of breast cancer. Scientific study. Also, your immune system herbs, I would rather use those without all the side effects compared to antibiotics. And there is a natural and gentler way to help the body be well, and God's tried to tell us that in Holy Scripture, so we just have to pay attention.
Yeah, we haven't done that very well for a long time. You're in that time, Melody. I'm sorry, Wendy, so you might want to give them information
sure.
once in a while and tell them
Absolutely.
Who you are and I can get in touch with you.
Well, absolutely. Apothecary Herbs, you could give us a call and get a free product catalog. We specialize in immune-boosting, organ-cleansing, metabolic strengthening. The number is toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And, of course, we are online at thepowerherbs.com if you want to check us out there, thepowerherbs.com.
Well, Wendy, I want to thank you for all the effort you put in, even on this broadcast. I mean, it takes you time to put this together and research this, and thank you for doing that. You always bring forth something that's interesting every time. Thank you.
Well, you're so welcome. I thank you. And, yeah, it's just really interesting to me, too, when I delve into a topic. I go, whoa. You know?
I know.
Do people know this, you know?
Well, probably some do know. Most of them don't. But a lot of people know, but they still don't care. That's what breaks your heart. They know it and they don't care.
Right. Right.
You know, but
well,
if it doesn't
affect them, they don't think about it. But, you know, drug dependency and abuses do touch you in a way once in a while. You probably just don't
yes.
connect the dots.
It touches all of us somehow. I mean,
right.
a chaotic society affects us all.
Yeah. And your doctors live in a life of chaotic nonsense because they're addicted too. That's terrible.
And they're getting wealthy at it too, by the way.
Well, yeah.
That's just the way it is. But thank you, Wendy Wilson, again. Get the number out one more time.
866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
All right. I'll see you next week.
Okay.
Have a good one, honey. Bye-bye. Folks, back at the break. A lot to talk about. Don't go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSC Talk TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back again. This is Pastor Butch Paul. You're listening to Financial Survival. I am in for Melody, of course, on Wednesdays, and an honor to be here. I hope I'm doing her a good job and glorifying her Father in heaven, but also maybe helping you understand some things. And I know some of the things we do for a little bit of humor once in a while, that's important, but we try to cover topics that seem, well, they are important to all of us. This one I want to share today because I found it hard to believe. I mean, well, I'll just read the headline to you. Top paid Los Angeles lifeguards earned up to $500,283 in 2021. $500,000 a year, a lifeguard. Gee, did I pick the wrong line? Who knew that L.A. lifeguards who work in the sun, ocean, surf, and golden sands of California could reap such unbelievable financial reward? It's time we put Baywatch on Paywatch. In 2019, we found top paid lifeguard made up to $392,000. Unfortunately, today, the pay and benefits are even more lucrative. Daniel Douglas was the most highly paid and earned $510,283, an increase from $442,712 in 2020. As a lifeguard captain, he out-earned 1,000 of his peers, salary $150,054, perks $28,661, benefits $85,508, and a whopping $246,000 in overtime pay. The second highest paid lifeguard was Fernando Botex, pulled down $463,517 from $393,000 to $137,000 last year. Our authors at OpenBooks.com found that 98 LA lifeguards earned at least $200,000, including benefits, last year, and 20 made between $300,000 and $510,000. 37 lifeguards made between $50,000 and $247,000 in overtime alone. And it's not only about the cash compensation. After 30 years of service, L.A. lifeguards can retire at age 55 on 79% of their pay. Golly, folks, we picked the wrong profession there. We could sit on the beach, got a suntan, and earn $500,000 a year. Whew, not bad. Not bad at all. Gee. A lifeguard. I bet you that most firemen don't get paid that. And they're kind of a lifeguard, wouldn't you say? Most EMT workers, all those. But let's move on. Memorial Day airline hell was a painful preview of summer. If last weekend was any indication, we're in for a turbulent summer for air travel, with staff shortages and severe weather interrupting our long delayed getaways. Why it matters. The summer of revenge travel is pushing up against the limits of airlines' capability to recover from the two-year pandemic. Passengers should be prepared for fewer choices, higher prices, and more delays. Driving the news, U.S. airline counts on more than 2,800 flights over the Memorial Day weekend. Almost 2,800 flights over the weekend. Bad weather in Florida, New York, and Mid-Atlantic was a factor, along with air traffic control and staffing issues, airlines say. It's not just Americans suffering through travel hell. Passengers in Europe are waiting for 2 hours to get through security on immigrations too. The security line at Amsterdam Schiphol Airport, one of the world's busiest, stretched so far that out of the building over the weekend, that Dutch airline KLM temporarily halted new reservations. The airport even urged passengers to stay home. We've seen airline meltdown before as carriers struggle to meet demand that bounced back more quickly than expected in the summer fall of 2021. This year, airlines have had plenty of time to prepare, even expanding their schedules ahead of the forecasted summer 2022 travel surge. But labor shortages across the board, pilots, gate agents, baggage handlers, ground crews are causing carriers to rethink those plans. Almost all major U.S. airlines have proactively cut their schedules, some by as much as 15%, acknowledging that their operations are already stretched to the brink. Gee, not a good time to travel, folks. I mean, it's really, what can I say? I don't fly much anymore because maybe it's just me, and I know it isn't. To get on an airplane, you got to pretty much totally disarm yourself of anything. Not even a nail file can be considered a weapon. You can't carry on anything with you that's anything more than like 3 ounces of liquid of any kind. If they put you through a metal detector, patch down, or both, take off your belt, take off your shoes, and unload your pockets, put them in a basket, and go through all these things. You have to prove that you're innocent to get on a plane. It's no longer they have to prove you're guilty. You have to prove you're innocent. To me, that is a police state, folks. And to me, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I don't like being assumed that I'm guilty of anything, and I just don't like going through that hassle to be able to go see my children in Colorado for other reasons. I don't like that hassle. I don't put up with it, so therefore I don't fly, but very, very seldom, and I haven't been on a plane now for about 3 years, and I don't miss it at all. Let's move back. I'm reading it real slow. One-third of Americans making more than $250,000 a year live paycheck to paycheck, survey finds. Wow. Most of us don't make a fifth of that a year, folks. But anyway, more than a third of Americans earning at least $250,000 annually say they are living paycheck to paycheck, underscoring how inflation is taking a bigger bite out of Americans' budgets at the all ends of the pay spectrum. Some 36% of households taking nearly four times the median U.S. salary to devote nearly all their income to household expenses, according to a survey by industry publication Payments.com and LendingClub.corp. It's particularly true among millennials who are now in their 20s to early 40s. More than half of top earners in that generation report having little left at the end of the month. And folks, I got to say this. I understand anything can happen to make somebody go in debt, even though with that kind of money. But most of it is foolishness. I mean, they go out and they spend money they shouldn't be spending on things they don't need. I call it urge buying. You get an urge and you buy it. You don't need it, you just want it, you get it. So if you can handle $50,000 a year, $25,000 a year, you're not going to be able to handle $250,000 a year. You have to learn to live on less than what you make in order to plan for the future. Most people don't do that. They just don't do it. Back to the baby food. This is just a quick headline I'll share with you. Mile long line of cars to pick up baby formula in Michigan as Biden's baby formula crisis continues. The out-of-stock rate hit 70% last week. Nearly double the rate from April. See, this pushed bringing a bunch of stuff in, weren't they? The Biden baby formula crisis worsened over the last month. California parents are now traveling to Tijuana to purchase baby formula. And in Michigan, they're waiting in lines over a mile long to get baby formula for their babies. This is your country under the Pelosi-Biden regime. Well, I can't say anything different. That's what it is. People in California driving to Mexico, folks. Let that sink in. They're driving to Mexico to buy food for the babies. America can no longer feed its children. Maybe that's why they want to kill so many of them over these last 50 years. America can no longer feed their children. That absolutely is disgusting, to say the least. To say the least, that's disgusting. Jamie Dimon says, brace yourself for an economic hurricane caused by the Fed and Ukraine war. And I'll say it's more the Fed than anything else that had been for many years. But anyway, J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon says he's preparing the biggest U.S. bank for an economic hurricane on the horizon and advised investors to do the same. You know, I said there's a storm cloud, but I'm going to change it. It's a hurricane. Diamond said Wednesday at a financial conference in New York. While conditions seem fine at the moment, nobody knows if the hurricane is a minor one or a superstorm Sandy, he added. You better brace yourself, Diamond told the room full of analysts and investors. J.P. Morgan's bracing ourselves, and we're going to be very conservative with our balance sheet. There are two main factors that has Diamond worried. First, the Federal Reserve has signaled it will reverse its emergency bond buying programs and shrink its balance sheet. The so-called quantitative tightening, or QT, is scheduled to begin this month, and it will ramp up to $95 billion a month in reduced bond holdings. Folks, for several years now, they've been bailing out the banks every month. The Fed's been bailing out the banks. They've been bailing them out. It's going to come to an end. Then what? We've never had QT like this. So you're looking at something you could be writing history books on for 50 years, Diamond said, adding that a lot about quantitative easing programs backfired, no doubt. Central banks don't have a choice because there's too much liquidity in the system, Diamond said. They have to remove some of the liquidity to stop the speculation, reduce home prices and stuff like that. The other large factor worrying Diamond is the Ukraine war and its impact on commodities, including food and fuel. Oil almost has to go up in price because of disruptions caused by the worst European conflict since World War II, potentially hitting $150 to $175 a barrel, Diamond said. Now, folks, where you live now, between $110 and $115 a barrel, gasoline in our state's already $4.55 a gallon. If it hits $150, take up to over five. Hits $175, you're looking $6.50 or above. Wars go bad. They go south in unintended consequences, Diamond said. We're not taking the proper actions to protect Europe from what's going to happen to oil in the short run. Well, it isn't looking good, no matter how you put it. It just isn't looking good. I don't know how else we can put it, folks. I mean, if Diamond's right and oil should happen to hit $175 a barrel, I really don't know how people are going to be able to make it, including me. I know they're going to try to push into electric cars. And how are we going to charge them if they can't keep the electric grids up? In California, they're restricting water now on farmers. Farmers can't even water the crops. Well, we already got food shortages. Already have crop shortages. Farmers can't water the crops. They're not going to be able to grow food. One of the most luxurious, rich states in this country for agriculture was California. It's withering away. Minnesota fire at commercial egg farm likely leaves thousands of chickens dead. Here we go again, folks. Another fire. I don't know how many it makes. I'm thinking 15 or so fires in food and poultry places or food production of any kind. About 15, at least 15, 16 fires or explosions have set these things back. A fire at commercial egg farm in Minnesota on late Saturday night likely left thousands of chickens dead. The fire began on late Saturday night, and fire crews responded to the incident shortly after 10 p.m. at a Forsman farm facility in Stockholm Township. According to the report, the fire came from a barn that houses chickens and manure. Deputies said that the main building involved in the fire was significantly damaged, and surrounding buildings received light damage. The Wright County Sheriff's Office estimated that there were likely 200,000 chickens in the barn when the fire broke out. Anybody like fried chicken? Yeah, well, bad joke. But anyway, deputies said that they don't believe the fire is a result of criminal activity. A spokesperson for the company confirmed to Fox 9 the chickens died in the fire, but said that no people were hurt. Overnight, a fire destroyed one of the barns at our Howard Lake farm. No one was injured, and we are grateful that first responders were quickly on the scene to put out the fire. Unfortunately, the chickens were lost because of the fire. We are evaluating the extent of the damage, which appears to be confined to a single structure, as well as investigating the cause of the fire, the spokesperson said. Folks, one or two fires in food production is a coincidence over two or three, 4 months. 15 or so of them, that is not a coincidence. That is not something that just happened. I think they're doing something because on purpose. America has been picked to go down. And, folks, we're going to go down. If you're not ready, there's not a thing I can tell you about it. I've tried to warn you and warn you and warn you for many years on my radio show, Melody has on this too, that this is coming. if you don't prepare yourself with some real money in your hand that you can at least barter with, and I like junk silver for that purpose, you need to get it while you can, while the price of silver is down. If you're not doing, preparing yourself with at least a couple good water filters and some storable food, then I don't know what to say about it. World's largest automaker misses April global production slices estimates for June. The world's top automaker reported to a decline in global production in April. It sliced June production expectations, indicating semiconductor chip shortage and supply chain disruptions in China due to factory shutdowns weighed on production. Toyota reported that April sales were 692,259, which fell 9.1% from the same month last year, missing the mark of a planned 750,000 vehicles worldwide. Last week, the automaker sliced its June production twice. In total, the company has now cut 150,000 vehicles to 800,000. Toyota expects to produce 9.7 million vehicles worldwide for the entire year, though it could lower estimates later this summer. So, says, although we are now seeing an impressive recovery driven by pent-up demand, the strength of consumption will be severely constrained by a sharp squeeze in real household income caused by a combination of higher inflation and stagnant wage growth. The weak yen is also clearly a negative to households and consumption, which is supposed to take a lead in a coming recovery after the coronavirus. You know, folks, I don't know how people want to buy any kind of cars. With the way things are going up in price and the scarcity of products, even we're talking about food, not things that are luxuries. We're talking about food here and fuel. We're talking about heat. If they can't afford or can't find food, but most of them can't afford it after the price are going through the roof, how in the thunder are they going to buy cars? How are they going to afford a car payment? In my mind, this is my opinion, if you have an automobile that runs okay, I have one that's in the shop, now getting the motor put in it, but I have two that runs okay, why would I go out and go in debt for anywhere from $300 to $1,000 a month on car payments? Why would I go in debt for $150 a month for anything the way things are going right now? You need to think those things through. And if you can afford a car payment, I suggest you put it back in storable food and put it back in some kind of savings to get you through. The hard times are coming, folks, and they're coming. They're really coming. And I'm not saying it's going to wait to fall till you see it. We're going to see it in a couple months. I'm telling you right now that in my mind, I've said it the other day on this program, I'll say it again, by July, we're going to see things happen in a food line that we never dreamed possible. For example, shortages that we never thought we'd see in America are coming to this country. And prices are not going to go down. It's not going to happen. Okay, folks, back at the break. A lot more to talk about, and I'm glad you're with us today, so don't go away. Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Alrighty, folks, we are back in. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and this is Financial Survival, and I am here from Ellis Hughes today, and I'm doing my best to bring you news and my opinion for whatever my opinion is worth. I've always told people, if you take about $2 and go to a cheap coffee shop and give my opinion with it, you'll get a cup of coffee. I think it's pretty fair, don't you? $2 my opinion? So anyway, I'll do what I can the best I can. And to weigh some good news, we know a couple weeks ago that the meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, the WHO, there were some amendments given, brought up, that there would be a worldwide health czar that would have complete control over every aspect of everyone's health in the world. What didn't go through? As a matter of fact, Biden's amendments got your butt kicked. Stunning defeat for Biden amendments at the WHO. Last week at the 75th World Health Assembly meeting in Geneva, Switzerland, the Biden administration's attempt to present 13 proposed amendments to international health regulations that would empower the World Health Organization to unilaterally declare a public health emergency for any reason failed miserably. Praise God. None of Joe Biden's 13 proposed amendments were adopted by the WHO. Rather than reducing this time frame as Biden sought, the delegates agreed to extend the time frame, time for a member nation to reject an amendment from 9 to 10 months. The current 24-month time to implement the regulation after entry into force of an amendment remains the same. So, Biden tried, well, I can't say Biden. Biden doesn't have enough brain power left to do anything. His advisors tried, I guess, to get this shoved through to further enslave the world, and it didn't work this time. So we can thank God for that did not work this time. We're blessed, folks, that God intervened on that one, or we would have gone down the road even further. So let's thank God for that victory. Russian oil producers stay one step ahead of sanctions. You know, I guess I hadn't really thought about a lot of things that I'm seeing in the day, because as I grew up in America, and as you all did, and I spent my time in this country, I always thought America was the tops, and we could never do nothing wrong. Everything we did was right because we're Americans. And people never thought that if we put sanctions on Russia, why do we not think that they can find ways around it? Why do we think the Russians just step back and think, well, they outsmarted us again? No. Believe me, folks, they're not a stupid people. They can find ways around our sanctions. It doesn't really hurt them as much as it hurts us. Europe just targeted Russia's crude with its toughest sanctions yet. But shippers and refiners are getting the oil to market by obscuring its origins. Some fuels believed to be particularly made from Russia, or partially made from Russian crude, landed in New York and New Jersey last month. The cargoes were brought through the Suez Canal and across the Atlantic from Indian refineries, which have been big buyers of Russian oil, according to shipping records. Refinitiv data and analysis, a Helsinki-based think tank, Center for Research on Energy and Clean Air, says, in the wake of the invasion of Ukraine and sanctions from the U.S. and the European Union, traders are working to obscure the origins of Russian oil to keep it flowing. The oil is concealed in blended refined products such as gasoline, diesel, and chemicals. Oil is also being transferred between ships at sea, a page out of the playbook used to buy and sell sanctioned Iranian and Venezuelan oil. The transfers are happening in the Mediterranean, off the coast of West Africa, and the Black Sea, with oil then heading toward China, India, and Western Europe, according to shipping companies. Folks, there are ways around everything that somebody plans to do. Just stop thinking about computers. You buy a computer, what's got the best security system you put on a computer. I guarantee you that somebody out there is going to hack it. You can upgrade it, they'll hack it again. Same thing with this. You think you got them backed in the corner, we're going to hurt them economically, and they're laughing up their sleeve at us because we can't touch them and they know it. We can growl, we can roar, we can threaten. Of us, America has no more clout in the world today than a third world nation, any other third world nation. We are basically a third world nation now. That's just all there is to it. Russia threatened to wipe out the entire U.S. with just two missiles and chilling warning over Ukraine. Now, folks, this isn't even fun to hear. And unless there's something behind the scenes that won't say this, why don't you bring this up? A chilling moment on Russian state TV on Monday saw a host issue the latest in a long line. This morning, Putin could destroy the entire east coast of the U.S. with his two missiles. In footage from Russia's flagship propaganda, a member of Russia's parliament boasts about the nation's military before also labeling 2 million Ukrainians as incurable. Sarmat missile test launch on April 2022. The folks showed a picture of that. That thing is huge. Anyway, the politician Alexei Zurov was joined on a talk show by fellow MP and Russian state mouthpiece Yevgeny Popov, the host of the Rosalia One Channel show. The lawmaker claimed that the two of Russia's Sarmat Saturn II missiles would destroy the entirety of America's East Coast before adding it would take just two missiles for the West Coast as well. Four missiles and there'd be nothing left. They think the mushroom cloud will be taller than a high-rise. That mushroom cloud will be visible from Mexico, said Zurov. Standing at the colossal height of a 14-story tower block, the 208-ton RS-28 Sarmat missile, also known as a Satan II, is capable of striking targets at almost 16,000 miles per hour. The world-ending nuke can also carry 15 warheads and has potential to obliterate an area the size of the U.K. in a single blast. It can wipe out an area the size of the U.K. in a single blast. Wow. Let's say, folks, they launch four or five of those, we stop one of them. I mean, we stop three or four of them. Let's say we stop all but two of them, or all but one of them, and one of them makes it through. There goes the East Coast. I want to say, this is for real stuff. Russia holds nuclear forces drill as Biden unveils $700 million more in arms for Ukraine. Russia's nuclear forces have launched fresh drills northeast of Moscow in the Anamo province, according to the new Russian Defense Ministry statements Wednesday. Reuters called Interfax news agency to report that some 1,000 servicemen are exercising in intense maneuvers using over 100 vehicles, including Yars intercontinental ballistic missile launchers, based on the Russian MOD statement said. Some Western media reports are seeing the drill as a response and warning to Washington over the White House approving yet more military aid and weapons to Ukraine, particularly long-range rockets. Newsweek, for example, writes that the report follows the announcement that the U.S. has approved a $700 million package of security assistance to be sent to Kyiv, which will include helicopters, anti-tank weapon systems, and medium-range, high-mobility artillery rocket systems. The Kremlin is meanwhile issuing new warnings of the U.S. violating its stated red lines. Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov says there are risks that a third country could become involved in the Ukraine conflict due to supplies of rocket launchers. This little move of Russia against Ukraine, for whatever reason you want to say it is spreading into a big situation. And there's no way that we can understand what a world would be like, not with today's weapon systems. No way we can understand it. And there are men out there who want it to happen, folks. Money is made off of wars. More than made during peacetime. Money makes a few people unbelievably wealthy. And if that weren't enough, China says it conducted readiness patrol around Taiwan. The Chinese military said on Wednesday it had conducted a combat readiness patrol in the seas and airspace around Taiwan in recent days, saying it was a necessary action to respond to collusion between Washington and Taipei. China, which claims democratically governed Taiwan as its own territory, has stepped up its military maneuvers around the island over the last 2 years or so as it seeks to pressure Taipei to accept its sovereignty claims. China has been particularly unhappy with U.S. support for Taiwan. U.S. President Joe Biden angered China last week by appearing to signal a change in American policy of a strategic ambiguity on Taiwan by saying the United States would become involved militarily if China were to attack the island. U.S. officials said there has been no change in policy. In a statement, the People's Liberation Army Eastern Theater Command said the combat readiness patrol that happened around Taiwan in recent days was a necessary action against U.S.-Taiwan collusion. Recently, the United States has frequently made moves on the Taiwan issue, saying one thing and doing another, and instigating support for Taiwan independence forces, which will push Taiwan into a dangerous situation. Taiwan is part of China, and Chinese troops continue to strengthen military training and preparations to thwart interference from external forces and action by those who support Taiwan's independence, it said. Another front, another war that we can't win. Oh, my folks. It's just on and on it goes. Our nation's crumbling on the inside. Factions are splitting off and becoming more militaristic on all sides. All sides. The so-called left is even more outspoken in calling, and as the governor of Chicago said, there's a call to arms here. They're talking to the LGBTQ, of which she is a lesbian. She said there's a call to arms here. We see that people, talk show hosts, are saying they need to bomb the building where the NRA is meeting in Dallas. We're seeing all these things happen. The infiltration of communist sympathizers and folks, no, they're not rebels running around carrying guns. They're not Castro. There are senators, our president. There are congressmen. They're the infiltrators. They're the ones who are pulling this off. We sit back and watch it, but it's happening. That's one huge push to bring America under control, under communist control entirely, and, of course, to bring the world into war, because they want to bring out a one-world order. And they want to bring about is a one economic system, a one spiritual system, and that's going to be led, of course, by the Antichrist beast system. We're seeing it all happen, folks. And now the World Economic Forum pushes facial recognition technology. Back in 1998-99, I knew from reading and studying and talking to other people smarter than I am that the technology that was coming out of facial recognition and other biometric means will be a way of totally controlling the people, folks, in every way possible. It's a brand that belongs to you and I personally. It's a number of a man. The Bible says that Mark is the number of a man. Well, my biometrics are my number. It's a number of a man. That's what it is. Believe it. Just take it the way you want to, but that's what it is. The World Economic Forum annual meeting in Davos, Switzerland, has just ended. The theme of the five-day event was Working Together, Restoring Trust, with both vague and troubling in equal measures. Remember, this is WEF we're discussing here, an international organization actively pushing the Great Reset. The theme could just as easily have been Suffering Together, Restoring Compliance. Among the many issues discussed, members focused on the spread of misinformation and disinformation. Misinformation and disinformation. Now, how they ask can the proliferation of harmful content be combated? It's easy, they answered. How about introducing digital IDs? The WEF recently rolled out the Global Coalition for Digital Safety as an agency designed to accelerate public-private cooperation to tackle harmful content online. In an effort to remedy the scourge of malicious material, the WEF has brought together a diverse group of leaders who are well-placed to exchange best practices for new online safety regulation and help millions of connected citizens improve digital media literacy. These diverse leaders include head honchos like the likes of Google, Microsoft, Interpol, and a number of government ministers. Another coalition member is Yote, a company that strives to make the Internet a safer place. How so? Through the use of digital IDs. The dangers proposed by the digital ID cannot be emphasized enough. As the researcher Brent Solomon, a man who has tracked the advantages and perils of technology for human beings for over a decade, previously noted, the mass rollout of digital IDs poses one of the gravest risks to human rights of any technology that we have encountered. As we rush headlong to a future where new technologies will converge to make this risk much more severe, we must prepare ourselves for the dawn of a near-perfect facial recognition technology and other identifiers from the human gait to breath to iris, according to Solomon. Folks, we're walking right into the cage with our eyes wide open and volunteering for it every day. I know that people don't want to hear this. I know it's not something that is pleasant. My friends, we have let ourselves be led right in to this, down this chute into captivity because they promise the benefits. They give us little treats along the way that we would behave ourselves. And when they decided that it's time, they didn't only just give us treats. They told us, if you get out of line, we're going to lock you up. They knew they had us in a corner where we couldn't get out. That's the world today. Not just America, that's the world today. I suggest, folks, you think this over. Prepare yourself because they're coming. Give Mel D a call at 800-375-4188. 4188. 800-375-4188. I will see you with Friday. Mel D will see you tomorrow with Dave. Have a great night.
Ain't it sad? Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.